Welcome back to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name is Jen. And on today's show, we're in part 3 of The Adventure Begins because we want to know about the power it will take to bring the kingdom. Oh, yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of New Every Day. We are in the third part of our Acts series. Jen, we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah. And what's interesting is because we are 2,000 plus years into this, the church age. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit, it's just like, oh, yeah.
We get it.
We get it. Well, some of us get it. Some of us don't really get it. There's so much cloud around the Holy Spirit. But we actually want to just go right back to chapter 2 of Acts because Jesus has promised the Holy Spirit. He said, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
And then he said, wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father.
Yeah. And yeah. It's the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives in order to complete the mission. So he's been given this mission. He's given this mission to his team, which is now complete with Matthias. And so now they're probably wondering, how is this even going to happen? Because you have to remember, he gave the mission before he gave the power to complete the mission. So they can be thinking,
we got the car, but there ain't no gas in the car.
Bingo! Got the car, but no gas in the car. So how are we going to get to Samaria and beyond?
Right.
Because they could probably wrap their mind around Jerusalem.
Right.
They might even be able to wrap their mind around Judea and Samaria. Because Galilee was actually on the other area of Samaria. So they could probably, maybe they would go into Samaria a little bit. Because they had to get through Samaria in order to get to Galilee. But this whole idea of beyond or the ends of the earth, they're like,
what
are you talking about?
But what's interesting is that in chapter 2 about the coming of the Holy Spirit, it's actually on the day of Pentecost. And so this was a feast of Israel. And so there were people from all over.
Oh, yes. All over the known world was in Jerusalem because this is one, like you said, a mandated feast. They came together 3 times a year. And this is one of those feasts. And they all had to come to the temple.
So there was a lot of people there.
There was a lot of people there from all over. So why don't we read that passage? So do you want to read it from chapter 2, verse 1?
This is the New King James Version. Chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they're full of new wine.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Because we've read this passage lots and lots of times. But this was the first experience. And I'm sure they are wondering, like, what is going on? because here it says they were all together and a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came. That's the NIV. And as I was reading over this passage, one of the questions that came up was, what have you ever had an experience with a violent wind?
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Like
I
what?
Remember being in Myrtle Beach, which is in Virginia. Oh, boy. This is bad news. It's in the States on the eastern border. Myrtle Beach is one of the beaches on the Atlantic Ocean. And I was babysitting seven kids at the time, from like baby
seven
in my
kids.
Arms to like 11, 12-year-old kid, right? So seven.
Like all at once? Like
yeah,
all together?
Yeah, because I was a lifeguard. So, you know, why not take them down to the beach? Don't worry. Don't worry. I had it all under control. So, as I'm holding the one, and there's a few in the water, this huge windstorm picks up, and the wind was blowing so much that the sand felt like little daggers going into your skin.
And you're holding a baby?
I'm holding a baby, and I have two kids in the water, and the wind was so much with the water that the kids actually couldn't come in. Like, they could not. And I'm like
scared?
Lord, you got to get those kids in. And they were able to get in. And then we literally pushed our way through the wind. And we were told later on that day that it had picked up a grown 6 foot tall man who's probably like 225 pounds, had picked him up and thrown him. His arm was all scratched and bandaged because it had actually picked him up and thrown him.
What?
And I was just like, oh, God, thank you so much for saving us.
Yeah, because he could have, like, whipped those kids around.
I know, because these are, like, wee baby and, like, children, like, they probably might have been 11, maybe.
Oh,
like, so 11, yeah, like 11, 9, 6, 7.
That's crazy.
I know. And so when it says, you know, like a violent wind, it wasn't like a little...
Tongues of fire.
Yeah. No, and one of the other questions is, when you think of fire, what do you think about? Like... I think heat, pain,
yeah, power, uncontrolled,
yeah, purification.
Yeah, in Canada, we often have trouble with forest fires, especially on the western coast, and they can just ravage whole communities,
yeah,
because they're just untamable.
So, when you read this and it says, suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Now, remember, it's not just the 12 disciples. It's like,
oh yeah, everyone. They're all together. They're like 120 or maybe more now.
Yeah, they are all together in the upper room. And it says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And it's like, it's, you know... It's like the tongue came from heaven, landed on the individual, and then they were able then to speak in another language. Because it goes on to say, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because they heard them speaking their own language.
So they were making noises, but they each person then heard it in their own language that they were born.
Yeah.
The language from their birth.
Yeah, so it's like all of a sudden Peter starts speaking in like the Mesopotamian language and Thaddeus starts speaking in another language. But for the purpose that people would hear the message.
The message.
Yeah.
The wonderful works of God. They were declaring the wonderful works of God.
Yeah.
And here's what's so cool. When Jesus said, you're going to go and you'll preach to the ends of the earth, he equipped them with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But there were also all these people there from everywhere.
Yeah.
Under heaven. So they were hearing the good news. And then Peter stands up, shares the good news of what Jesus did,
yep.
Tells them to repent. They repent. And there are many saved that day.
Yeah. It says 3,000 were added to their number.
And then they then could go out back to their communities. And that's what starts the ripple effect, this exponential growth of the church.
Yes.
Then you have the Holy Spirit or Jesus call someone like Saul, who becomes Paul, and then he travels around to all these pockets that were growing, these little churches, and he encourages them and writes them letters, and then the church builds and builds and builds, and then here we are today.
It's time for a commercial break. We'll be right back.
There's been an incredible con that's occurred in the culture. Evolution in millions of years is the greatest myth ever forced on the minds of men.
Big Bang, evolution, millions of years. People just believe it blindly.
How can you not believe that somebody designed all of this?
We know he exists because of creation.
Not just faith, we have science. It's really on our side.
Welcome back. We're jumping right back in again. Jen?
So Carrie just shared with us how these tongues of fire that came from heaven landed on the people in the upper room. And then Peter, out of the power of the Holy Spirit, was then able to share the good news with all of the people from all the different known areas under the world, under the sun, all the known areas. And then they took the message back to their different areas. And then Paul went. And so it was as a result of the Holy Spirit moving, equipping them, that they were able then to take the message to all of the world.
Yep.
And you got to remember, this is what Jesus said would happen. But he said it before he gave the power, right? And we had talked about that. The fact that Jesus said, this is what I want you to do. Here's the message of the kingdom. And then here's your team. And like you said, okay, now where's the gas to get us to where we need to go?
Yeah.
And so the gas is the Holy Spirit. And it was the Holy Spirit that equipped them to speak to all of these people. And it's really interesting. One of the questions that that came up in my study was, how do you feel about talking to people in other languages or other cultures? Like, are you comfortable with it? And when it asked, when I read that question, I was like,
Why? In what way?
Because I don't think I understand. I have a fear of not being understood or of not making myself known. And I never once thought about asking Jesus to help me. And I'm just, so I'm feeling a little convicted right now because I've gone on missions trips. And, you know, just realizing at those times, I remember I actually led games with kids in other languages, which was great. And we went to on a mission trip to Quebec, and some of I can speak a little bit of French. But we ended up, like, talking to the kids about who Jesus was. And it was just like, okay, am I willing to take my little bit and surrender it to God so that he can then do what he needs to do to accomplish the purposes of the kingdom? But that fear is always there that I don't think I know enough. I don't know enough about their culture. I don't know enough about their language. I might not want to offend them. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so true. And yet the people whom I've met from other cultures have just so enriched my life and given me a different perspective. And as I've gotten to know, like I've got one wonderful friend from India, and as I've gotten to know him and learned about his culture and his love for his family and his love for God and just so many little things. Now when I meet someone else from that culture, I already have this wonderful representation.
Right.
And experience with this friend. And so I find myself seeing people from India with new eyes. And I now have a place to actually start talking with them.
Right.
And I actually met two other people who I've been working with from India, and I've been able to talk to them and be oh yeah, I know about this place and whatever. And then they were able to share with me that they're Christians too. So it's just so cool. Like how God works. Yeah.
And what I'm thinking about is the fact that it would have totally have blown the disciples' minds when Jesus said, you're going to go into all the world. Because for a Jewish man, you were not to interact with any other nation.
Right.
Other than, you know, those who were Jewish.
And that was like God was separating the Israelites for himself. They were his special people, the representation of like God working in their lives, right? So he didn't want them to be to like cross-contaminate with other cultures because right. they worshipped foreign gods.
Yes.
And it would pull them away from their relationship with God. But now, this mm-hmm. new thing with the Holy Spirit, it's like he is for all people from every nation. There yes. is no one special. There's the Holy Spirit's for everybody.
Yes.
The gospel is for everybody.
Yes.
And I find that wonderfully refreshing.
Right.
And I think that, you know, the church has a bad history. In North America, we've got the story of the residential schools where the church stepped in and pulled the Aboriginal people out from their mm-hmm. their communities, out from their cultures, and they were trying to indoctrinate them and change them and force church on them, force religion on them.
Yes.
And they lost their beautiful culture instead of sharing the gospel and allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work in their own culture. And it's just such a black spot on our history where I think that we didn't,
right.
that's not the right way to share Christ with people.
Right, and I think, because what can happen is like, well, this is the way it worked here. So that means I'm going to take the way that it worked here and I'm going to go mm-hmm. to this different culture or this different group of people and it's going to work the same there. And God is saying, no, let my Spirit guide you. Like, you have all of your experience, you know who I am. Like, that's, you know, I'm going back to when they chose the disciple, they knew what the scriptures were. And that's how they knew they needed to have another apostle, right? So we, as kingdom bringers, we are to know what the Bible says, but then we surrender that to the Lord to say, okay, Lord, I know you've called me to fulfill your mission. Yeah. Now take what I know, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, then you do it.
Yeah.
Like, lead me, guide me, equip me, and, you know, take away that fear
yeah.
of other cultures. And I think that's a huge stumbling block for so many people. It's like, well, I don't know enough. I don't speak yeah. the language. And yet it's very clear that if you need to speak that language, God will equip you with the ability to speak that language. And we can't yeah. be afraid of it. Like, if you've ever been afraid of receiving the gift of tongues because you don't know, well, what is God going to do? Well, I think you need to surrender that fear and just say, Lord, if you want to give me the gift of tongues, it's going to be for the furthering of your kingdom.
Mm.
And convict my heart for not being willing to receive that. Because it's you know, so often we can think, well, the Holy Spirit's scary and what he's going to want me to do. And there is an element of that, but then we have to take that fear and say, you know what, I'm not going to let fear get in the way of moving God's kingdom forward.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's so true. I was just reading through quickly of what Peter had to say to the people, Jen, when he was explaining what was going on,
mm-hmm.
what you're seeing. Don't be afraid. This is God foretold that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And he says in chapter 2, verse 32, this, and he's talking about Jesus and how it was foretold that he would come.
Mm-hmm.
This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. So all the people who were there with Jesus yeah. saw him. They had personally experienced it, and then they were going to share their story. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying this is actually what's going on. He explained it. So if yeah. there was any fear, it's like, this is what
yeah. and God it's not
is actually
us.
Doing this.
It's God. It's yeah. like, no, this is happening because of Christ
yeah.
in us.
Yeah.
Which is really important to remind yourself that every day, no, Holy Spirit, you work through me.
You work through me.
I don't want this to be the work of my hands.
Yeah.
I want it to be of you.
Yeah. And he brings hope that he's able to accomplish what God put forward ahead mm-hmm. of you. He says he created good works ahead of you that you should walk in them. And then he empowers you with the Holy Spirit to actually do it.
Yeah.
And moreover, the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance in Christ.
Yeah.
Read the book of Ephesians. It's full of it. The whole first couple of chapters talks about this, that we have the Holy Spirit. And as we experience him, that's the guarantee. We see him working in our lives and we can say, yes, I have the assurance that I will receive this inheritance. Eternal life is possible through Jesus Christ.
Yes. The Holy Spirit is the gas in the car that makes it run. So we're going to, I think, pause right there. We're so glad that you tuned in this week. We encourage you this week to open yourselves up to the things that the Lord has in store for you. And if you've been holding back out of fear, we encourage you to surrender that to the Lord. Trust that he will lead you. He will guide you through the power of the Holy Spirit. He has chosen you to do great things. May the Lord bless you and encourage you this week. see here in 7 days.